It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of James, we are continuing our series on the book of James. Chapter by chapter, verse by verse, the book of James, called the New Testament Proverbs. The book of James, a very practical book. James chapter 5, starting with verses 1 through 6. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Here James is giving encouragement to those Christians of that day and this day that are suffering at the hands of wicked rich rulers. Individuals who in that day and in this day, by extortion, by hook and crook, by skullduggery and chicanery, by changing of the law to meet their own benefit, have robbed the poor and those that cannot defend themselves. Those that are wicked rich have illegally, through ill-gotten gain, have taken property, have increased taxes beyond measure, and have extorted, exploited, and robbed the poor and defenseless, the widows, from their possessions. This is true today also, where those that may be in charge oftentimes veer from the straight path, and some begin to pass crooked laws in the halls of justice throughout the world, in different parliaments and Congress, in the sessions of political circles, and they pass laws to meet their own gain and to extort and to rob those who elected them in office. They have high taxation and unlawful taxation and take from one individual to give to another that would vote for them. This is wrong and unethical and unscriptural and immoral in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord wants justice and judgment to be upon the land. This is not speaking that all rich individuals are corrupt and wicked. This is speaking to the rich that are wicked. James speaks of how there's evidence that's spiritual upon them, likened unto an individual grabbing a rusty pipe with their grip and leaving the stains of their rust upon them. Here, James is using an analogy, a metaphor, that the trail of their crookedness is known to God, and all of their ill-gotten gain will be one day dust. It is corrupted by the corruptible means that it was given to them and how they obtained it, and they will lose it, and it will slip through their fingers as a part of God's judgment upon them. This is not speaking of all rich individuals, for the Bible encourages us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospereth. The Bible encourages us to have our cup runneth over. God wants us to prosper for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God wants us to prosper, to have a quality of life that gives glory to God and edifies the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to prosper that the poor may be given means of support and help. God wants us to prosper that the naked may be clothed and the hungry may be fed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants Christians to be out of debt, that they may further the work of God and to further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God would have us to prosper, but God would have us to maintain righteousness as we prosper. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added on to you." Paul gives encouragement in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6 that it is okay to prosper, but with inclusion with that prosperity, that we do the work of God. Chapter 6, verse 17, 1 Timothy, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, which giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, fellowship, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." The Bible increases its encouragement in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10, a warning from Paul on how the love of money is the root of all evil. So as we prosper, we maintain our focus on the Lord. God would have us to prosper, but be faithful in our prosperity. God would have us to prosper, but have wisdom in order to do the will of God with the prosperity that he gives us. A excellent example in Scripture is given to us in Mark chapter 10, the warning to the disciples on not to trust in riches, as evident by the rich young ruler's response to Jesus Christ. Chapter 10, the book of Mark, dropping down to the 22nd verse. After Jesus Christ has given them encouragement to follow him, to give his goods to the poor, to sell them and follow Jesus Christ, the Bible says in verse 22, "And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." Here we see the rich young ruler made a choice to hold on to his possessions and not follow Jesus. And while holding on to these possessions, he was still grieved, even though he was rich. This was an instruction to the rich young ruler because he was struggling with the 10th commandment, "Thou shalt not covet." So his answer and the remedy for him was to be free from the covetous things that were binding him up and to sell them and to follow Jesus, and he would have treasures in heaven. And Jesus Christ would allow his cup to runneth over. Jesus continues down in verse number 24 and says, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." So God wants us to have possessions, but God does not want possessions to have us. God wants us to prosper, but God wants us to follow him and love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. In the church, we must be careful of envy of the wicked rich, in that we think that they are not being judged fairly by God. David had this predicament in Psalm 73. He says in verse number 12, after line by line, he explains their wickedness. In verse 12, he says, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches In verse number 7, he says, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. So David was struggling with individuals who were wicked and rich and seemed to not stand in the judgment of God or the discipline of God. And they seemed like they were having a pass and getting over. David, later in that same psalm, went to the sanctuary, prayed, and sought God. God gave him an answer and told him later in that psalm that the wicked will not prosper, but they will fall and have their spiritual comeuppance with the Lord. Back to James chapter 5, verse 7 through 9. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Here, James is continuing to encourage those who are suffering affliction, who are being persecuted by the wicked rich, individuals that seem like they have no hope in this world. James is giving them encouragement that the Lord is coming and will take his children home to be with him in the rapture. And many times, individuals who are suffering on earth, individuals who are suffering calamity and circumstances, have their eyes fixed on the problem instead of having their eyes fixed on Jesus, and they begin to be depressed. They begin to be down and downtrodden, and James is encouraging them to look up to the hills from which cometh their help. Paul has the same encouragement in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 10, the Thessalonians are suffering great hardship and great persecution at the hands of the Romans. Here in verse number 3, chapter 1, Paul says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or appropriate, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token or a sign of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, and from the glory of his power. Here, Paul is saying to the Thessalonians, be patient, the Lord is coming back. Be patient, God will separate the sheep and the goat. Be patient, God will separate the wheat and the tares. Be patient, God will avenge his enemies and those that trouble you. Look to the hills from whence cometh your help. Jesus gave the same encouragement in John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. Ye believe in God, believe also in Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also. Paul encourages the Hebrew Christians with the same encouragement in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 through 36. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. God is coming back for his children. God is faithful. Back to James chapter 5, verse number 10 and 11. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Here, James is giving a practical example of individuals that suffered and had to wait patiently, one being Job. Job, as we know in the Old Testament, lost his health, lost his wealth, lost his reputation. His wife turned against him. His name was proverbial mud. His three so-called friends came to him and blamed him for 40 some odd chapters and said, Job, you must be in sin, for God does not allow the righteous to suffer like this. Job, there must be some secret sin going on, because God does never do this to the righteous. And Job suffered great calamity. And at the end of the book of Job, when Job prayed for his enemies, God gave him double for his trouble. Back to James chapter 5 and verse 12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Here, swearing by oaths were very common in that time and in this time. Not only are we charged to not have profane language, swearing, or cursing language, language in an everyday use that blasphemes, language that dishonors God and dishonors God's name, language that misuses God's name, language that does not glorify God, but also this scripture speaks of another context. The second context is that in that day there were many oaths and affirmations taking place as it is today. When individuals use a multitude of oaths and swearing, they're trying to qualify their statements in front of others. When we go to court, we place our hand on the Bible and we swear and or affirm that our words will be truth. It's the same thing when individuals today overemphasize it, but overusing it has the perception to where an individual is always trying to qualify their statement. What James is saying here is that your word should be your bond. Your yea should be yea, and your nay should be nay. When you say something, you should have the appropriate reputation behind what you say to validate and to give substance to what you're saying. Individuals can take heed to what you're saying, knowing that what comes out of your mouth is truth based on your character, your lifestyle in Christ, your reputation in Christ. Your word is your bond. Jesus Christ gave this same teaching in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 34 through 37 on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh up evil. Jesus is saying we ought not swear by heaven. It does not belong to us. It's God's throne. Nor by the earth. It is his footstool. It does not belong to us. Neither by Jerusalem. It's his city where he will come back and reign and rule for 1,000 years in the great millennial reign. Nor swear by thy head, because organically we cannot control the color of our hair being white or black. All we have control of, in other words, is the integrity of the words that come out of our mouth, by the life that we live, by the reputation that we lead, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, as we give glory and honor to him, and to him by the words that we speak and the life that we live. Our words should be our bond. This is James chapter 5, part 1. I know today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His loving kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me this prayer? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised Him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.